Welcome to a special recovery edition of Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, joined by the entire WFSU crew. We have from the news department our news director, Lynn Hatter, also reporter Ryan Daly, assignment editor Regan McCarthy, morning edition host Gina Jordan, and of course yourself as well. We want to hear your experiences and what you have been encountering during this recovery phase from Hurricane Michael. 850-414-1234 is the number, and perspectives at WFSU.org is our email address. We have a lot of calls that are already lined up here, folks, and we want to bring you up to date on how the recovery situation is going. We had Kimberly from Gulf Power, Kimberly Blair, Gulf Power spokeswoman, lined up, and she just dropped off. We're going to try to get her back. Let's get an update here from the city of Tallahassee. Rob McGarrah, who is the head of the city of Tallahassee Electric Utility, is on the line with us. Rob, how are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Hey, we could not be doing better. What's the latest as far as restoration goes with you folks?
Well, we're continuing to work our plan to get the system back up and all of our customers back in light. We peaked out with about 112,000 customers out after the storm moved through, and the last number I saw was 38,000 out. Our target is to be at 90% or better restored by the end of the weekend.
Okay, there's one question that has come up, Rob, from a number of folks, and that is, well, okay, I've got my electricity up. Now, what about my cable? What about my landline phone? I think there are three people in Tallahassee, including myself, who still have landline phones. But my understanding is you have to get the electric system up and stabilized first before those other utilities can go in and work on their systems, right?
Well, that occurs in many locations where they may have wires attached to our poles, where they need to get up, we need to get in and do the repairs first, and then they need to come in behind us and do their infrastructure repairs on their system. So, but they're the ones that would be the best to advise when those services may come back.
Sure, because I know you do have line co-location in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Like that. But this is an incredibly fast restoration, Rob. I remember what we went through with Hermine and even Irma, which was a much less heavy storm than what we just underwent. This is amazing with all of the help that not only the city indigenous crews, but the extra help that you brought in from other municipal utilities and even some investor-owned. So the plan seems to be working pretty well.
Yes, it is. We've got between our in-house staff that's here all the time maintaining the system and our mutual aid partners, we have over 800 people dedicated to doing the field restoration work. Our normal staff would be in the neighborhood of 150 folks that handle that side of our business, the wires side of our business. So we brought in, I was just handed the number. We've got 843 people doing the restoration work within the electric system on this storm. So we brought in significant resources. We've deployed them out into all the areas of the city at our various substations around town where the power is distributed out to the customers, and they're working the damage out of those substations to get the system back in service, and that's helped us see the rate of restoration that we've seen over the last day and a half.
Rob, would you say that this is historically the largest restoration effort that the city's ever embarked on?
It is. It is definitively the largest restoration effort, mutual aid effort that the city's ever had at the electric utility.
Thank you. Rob, I know you're a really busy guy and overseeing this entire thing. Good luck with the rest of it, but it has been a huge undertaking for sure, and we'll check back with you a little bit later. We really appreciate you bringing us up to date on that.
Okay. We ask folks just to be safe out there. There's still a lot of things that need to be fixed, and trees down, poles down. If folks would just be safe and also be cautious around our crews and give us as much working room as they can.
Will do. Thank you so much, Rob McGarrah, the head of the city of Tallahassee Electric Utility. Let's see what's going on over in Gulf Power land. Kimberly Blair, the spokesperson for Gulf Power, joins us. Hi, Kimberly. How you doing?
I am doing great. How about you?
Oh, thank you for calling back in. What's the status with Gulf Power and its customers right now?
Well, we're you know, really excited to say that overnight we got nearly 5,000 more customers online. And right now in the hardest hit area, we have, still have about 90,000 people and just 90,000 customers still out. But we are working hard to get those we have mobilized a tremendous team. We have more than 5,000 personnel right now that are committed to nothing but storm restoration. And we have about 5,000 of them are on the ground right now in the hardest hit areas. I was there yesterday, or the last 2 days. I'm back in Pensacola now. But to me, I was just amazed at the unprecedented amount of work that they're doing and as quickly as they're doing it. Poles are going in the ground. Wires are being strung. They're working 24/7. It's just amazing to watch the progress that is being made. And I don't know if we've had crews come in, not just the Gulf Power crews, but we have crews from Alabama, Georgia Power, Mississippi Power. We have crews from Arkansas, Illinois, Michigan, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, and more. And this is just an amazing restoration project that's going on.
Right.
One thing I will say, though, is that this will also be a rebuilding project. The damage was really severe, and because we have to build so much of the infrastructure. And as I think the gentleman before me was saying, working from the substations, working out, there's transmission towers that will have to be replaced. So we're still asking our customers, those that are in the hardest hit areas, those that can receive power, they just need to be patient and understand that we are out there working as hard and as fast as we can and as safely as we can.
Right. Kimberly, this is Regan McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were talking about that there are a lot of customers who might have to wait or be prepared to wait for weeks without power if they're in the hardest hit areas. And some of that, my understanding is that some of those customers might not even be ready to receive power. There might still be flooding in their area. Their homes might not even have the appropriate electrical work. They might need to have an electrician come in before they can receive power. Is that part of what – I know you were just there in the Panama City area yesterday. Is that a big part of what you're seeing for the reason that slowdown might be in place?
Absolutely. I mean, some of the homes are destroyed to the point that, just in my experience, living on the Gulf Coast and covering hurricanes, I used to be a journalist and covered hurricanes for, many years. Some of these homes will not be able to be rebuilt or repaired. They're going to probably have to be demolished and totally, rebuilt from the ground up. So it'll be some time for some of those customers. And from what I've seen just driving around, there's quite a few structures that would fit that category, including businesses. There's older construction there that, predates some of our current hurricane standards. And so they just have, been practically demolished. I mean, they just have caved in on themselves. And those are going to be a while before those are probably rebuilt.
Right. Another reason for the slowdown I'm hearing is just that it's hard for the utility trucks to even get in there at this point. Is that starting to change? Are utility trucks being able to get into those hardest hit zones now?
Well, I'm not sure about the hardest hit areas, but I do know that there's a massive amount of vegetation maintenance going on or vegetation clearing going on. In fact, we had a team out from the Blackwater River State Forest that was out clearing this one street that was just completely covered in trees. That it was just a tangled mass of trees that I don't even know how everything got to be in that shape, but it was all on Baldwin Avenue. And underneath all of that was our power lines and our poles and everything. But they were working really quickly. And these kind of teams are just going through street by street by street. I mean, there's a number of them around clearing the path so that our trucks, that our utilities, and all these teams of utility workers can get in there and start, they got to pick up all those lines and cut down lines that are broken and take out the broken and snapped utility poles. But the utility poles, the power poles, are coming in by the truckloads from like places like Birmingham, Alabama, and they're just continuous convoys that are rolling into the area, bringing these poles. We've had more than 2,000 come into the area so far. And so almost as I was watching yesterday in several parts of the city, like at 23rd Avenue and 23rd Street Plaza and 23rd Street at that corner. There's a massive amount of work, just, you know, power, Mississippi Power Trucks lined up for blocks, putting in new poles and already starting to string wire down on Martin Luther King Boulevard near 7th Avenue. That was the same thing with Gulf Power Trucks doing the very same thing. I mean, almost as far as your eye could see, you could see them lined up down the road and bucket trucks up in the air. And they had teams like putting in a pole and then switching over the gear, the equipment from one pole to the other. And this is just a scene that's being played out all over. So, I mean, for us, for storm restoration, that what's been accomplished in 72 hours is just unprecedented.
Kimberly, that's a great update. We really, really appreciate that. And good luck with the rest of it. A big job yet to come, as you say, 90,000 customers of Gulf Power, still without service. But I know you guys are working on it. And thank you for updating us on that, Kimberly. Good luck now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for having us on.
All righty. Let's see. We're coming up on a break time. Christy Halley with the Calhoun Chamber, also Daniel Poehler over in Chipley, and Kevin Peters here in Leon County, still on the line, still yet to bring us the latest information on how the restoration in the wake of Hurricane Michael is going in our area. Tallahassee moving along in really sprightly fashion out to the west of us, though the situation is much more dire, and we'll be getting updates on that as we go. I'm Tom Flanagan, along with our entire team, Lynn Hatter and Ryan Daly, Regan McCarthy, Gina Jordan. We even brought in the big guy, David Mullins, our general manager of WFSU Public Media, who is working the phones. He's the guy you will be talking to when you dial 850-414-1234. You can also send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org, if you'd like to share your situation, your status in the wake of the storm, if you got power back, and particularly what was the worst thing that happened to you and what was the best thing that maybe you witnessed in the aftermath of the storm. We'll be right back. Back on our Specials Perspectives program, part of a seemingly ongoing series of programs in the wake of Hurricane Michael. And we are talking to folks from all over the Big Bend area within reach of this signal to find out what's going on in their neck of the woods. And that would include Calhoun County, where Christy Halley is the head of the Calhoun Chamber. Hey, Christy, how are you folks faring over there? Hello, Christy. Let's see, is she still on the line or still off the line? We're trying to do the interconnection there. Our phone system and a whole bunch of stuff also took a hit on that. Is Daniel on line four? Is that possible there? Let's see. Okay, line one. That's where Kevin Peters is. We know that. He is the head of emergency management for Leon County. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Tom. I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Oh, we're hanging in. We got power over here in Innovation Park. We hear that neighborhoods are returning to full-scale power quicker than many folks had anticipated. And how's everything else doing in your neck of the woods when it comes to our emergency response?
Yeah, well, we've been very busy. Started Sunday, last Sunday, starting to begin the activities to get prepared for this activity. And so we've passed our initial disaster phase, and we're transitioning into our recovery phase. We've got a County Comfort Station open at the main library today, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. It'll also be open again tomorrow. It provides a place where our citizens who may not have the power back, that can come in, have some air conditioning, get some water, and there'll be a place where they can charge their mobile devices, and we'll have computer access so they can get caught up to date on things. We'll also have representatives from community support agencies like Big Bend 211 there to provide some resource referral assistance.
Gotcha. Kevin, I have a question. This is Lynn at WFSU. Can people from outlying counties come and use those facilities as well?
Yeah, certainly, community center. So we want to make sure that anybody who's been affected by the disaster are welcome to come to our comfort station.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else here for Kevin? We got the whole gang here with us, Kevin. Some of the folks you dealt with over there, like Ryan Daly and Regan McCarthy, we're actually seeing them in the flesh here in the station instead of being embedded with you guys over at the Emergency Operations Center. So.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, it's Regan McCarthy here. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, we're getting a lot of questions now about people who are seeing major damage to their homes here in Leon County, but also in outlying counties. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping you might be able to talk a little bit about how people can start applying for assistance to get help with recovery. Are we expecting to be able to start applying to FEMA soon? Whatever information you might be able to give along those lines.
Yes, so there are some counties that did receive an individual assistance declaration pre-landfall, and I don't have that list in front of me, but I do know it's available on FEMA.gov. If I recollect correctly, it's the coastal counties of Bay, Gulf, Franklin, Wakulla, Jefferson, and Taylor. Again, I urge you to verify that list. For the inland counties, there have been a couple of additions, which I don't have at hand. But for those people listening who, in particular, Leon County, which I'm responsible for, we're currently out in the field with county and city crews. We're canvassing neighborhoods all over the county. We were out yesterday looking for damage, looking at damage. And if you have access, or if you're at our county conversation, you can go online to www.leoncountyfl.gov/EI, and there's a link where you can electronically self-report the damage to your home. And if you don't have access to the internet, but you still need to feel like you need to get it into us, you can also call the Emergency Operations Center for Leon County at 606-3700. And report your location to us and the magnitude of damage you received. What we'll do is we'll collect all that stuff, we'll aggregate it, and we submit that to the state of Florida, the Division of Emergency Management at the state level, and they will follow up with an on-site verification visit. And once they're satisfied with the numbers, they will take it back, and it'll be submitted through the governor's office to FEMA for inclusion in the disaster declaration.
Okay, Kevin, this is Tom. I just saw this popped up from the governor's office. We do have approval for FEMA individual assistance in Bay, Franklin, Gulf, Taylor, Wakulla, Calhoun, Liberty, Jackson, and Gadsden, and the governor has requested assistance for homes in Washington counties as well.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that, Tom.
Okay, so that's what we got. Anything else you need to pass along, Kevin, before we move over to Calhoun County here?
No, just encourage people to, as they clean up, again, our debris operations are beginning. Want to make sure you get all your, vegetative debris or any, damaged parts of your home debris. Bring it out to the right-of-way, separate it appropriately so the trucks can get the separated debris. Report your damage. And, we're seeing electric get restored and a lot of the things that should normally happen beginning Monday, like schools and city and county government business, government services returning to normal hours will be happening on Monday. So it looks like we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're still working hard to get cleaned up.
Thanks so much. Kevin Peters, head of emergency management for Leon County. And we'll check in with you again, Kevin. Off to Calhoun County we go. Christy Halley rejoins us here. She's with the Calhoun County Chamber of Commerce. Christy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, could not be doing better. By here, y'all have some challenges out there you're still working on, right?
We do. We're hit pretty hard, as everybody in our corner of the world was. Pretty much, we don't even have an assessment of how many people are out of their homes, but if the home wasn't completely damaged, almost every home has roof damage, and then the severe rains after that, so lots of water damage. 100% out of 100% of the county has no electricity. In the city of Bluntstown, we have water, and in the town of Alto, they have water. But the rest of the county, no water or electricity. It's definitely a challenge.
How are things like with city sewer and stuff in Bluntstown? Are the pumping stations still working, or are they down too?
They are working currently. They're running on a generator. We have had some generator issues with some of the wells for the water, but so far we have patched things together to get us over the hump, and then hopefully, you know, we'll be able to, as this goes on, which it will for probably, we're hearing here, 4 to 6 weeks without electricity.
Yeah, what are you doing as far as food and water and those kinds of things are concerned, Christy, for the folks who can get out?
Well, for the folks that can get out, we have a couple of stores that have been able to open, definitely not full service and at full, you know, operating capacity. People can get some of those things, but that's only if you're in town. For some of our outlying areas, trees fell on vehicles. They have no transportation. Fuel is also another dire need, and so people are out of gas, so they can't travel. Some of the things that we need the most are anything that you can think of that you use on a daily basis. We're kind of out of the woods on survival mode as far as water and like granola bars and things like that. Now we're in the, we have to sustain ourselves for a while. So we need things like charcoal, like flashlights, batteries, diapers, baby formula, Clorox wipes, hand sanitizer, any kind of hygiene items, toilet paper, paper towels, those kind of things. And of course, canned goods, any non-perishable food items. But some of those things that you don't really think of, people are having to grill and that sort of thing. So those things are coming in handy, but we'll really take anything we can get at this point.
Gotcha. You said that this is Lynn, the news director. You said that there are a few stores open, possibly in Bluntstown. You got any idea of what they are?
Yeah, we have our pharmacy, Bluntstown Drugs, is able to operate. I think they're trying to work maybe 10 to 2 or something right now. But they, we're having issues. When people are trapped in their houses that have health issues or need medicine and aren't able to get into town, we're having a lot of those issues. We've got some people that are on dialysis, and we can't take care of them at the level of care that they need at our shelters, and some of them are in shelters, so we're trying to get them transferred out of town to special needs shelters. There are things like that. Anyway, I defer.
We get back
to the businesses. Ramsey's Cash Sober, a local grocery store, they are open. For a while, getting trucks in, even though they were open, they didn't have everything. But, they were sold out of a lot of stuff. So now that the roads are open, they are able to receive trucks. At this point, they're a little bit limited on what they can carry, just because the generator, only provides so much juice and they can't keep, the full store up to capacity as far as freezers and, cooling and that kind of thing. But we do have that. Our Tractor Supply is open now, and they have, some people are needing to get supplies to secure their home and tie things down and that sort of thing. Another thing that we really need, and it's an immediate need, are tarps, the roof tarps. We're expecting rain later this week, and we don't want to even more damage, but so many of our roofs have holes in them, and the water will come straight through and potentially you know, ruin anything that you have been able to salvage to this point. So tarps are a big thing, Bisqueen. Those are big things.
Do you guys have any way, any one place set up that we can tell people if they have these things to make donations to, just sort of one central location?
We do. We are setting up, as we speak, kind of our collection center, and the address of that is 16119 State Road 71, and that's in Bluntstown. And it's a warehouse, a small warehouse-type building, so we're able to collect things here. And then from this site, other organizations, churches and stuff can come here and get the supplies that they need and then take them back into their community and distribute.
Wonderful.
Because we're just having a little bit of a hard time covering the whole county, so everybody won't have to come to this one spot. But we have heard that people are sending things, and we certainly appreciate it. We're kind of a little bit behind because we didn't have cell service for so long that, you know, these are things that we would have liked to have had done, you know, yesterday. But that's just not the way it worked. So we are, now that we have communications back up, we're able to take care of this kind of stuff. And we've got people dropping things off, and it's just such a blessing. You really don't appreciate, you know, the helping hands until you're the one on the receiving end.
Chrissy, we'll check back in with you. Thank you for the update on that, and we'll keep that collection site in mind and get that out there, too, so folks can help you with the recovery efforts out there in the Bluntstown area. Christy Halley, the Calhoun County Chamber of Commerce head, thanks so much for checking in with us here.
Thank you. I sure appreciate it.
All righty. Good luck to you. Now, a caller asking for any updates about Talquin Electric information. And let's see, Gina Jordan, I think, has all that stuff. Gina.
Okay, yep. Let me look at the outage map here. Okay, so just so you know, at this point, we did have over 400,000 people without power in the region. Now we are around 236,000. So progress is happening. Talquin. Talquin right now is reporting 36,000 still without. Let me double check and make sure that, 36,000 out. They were tracking 52,000. Now they're down to a little over 36,000. And I can tell you that about 14,000 of those are in Leon, about 15,000 in Gadsden, around 3,000 in Liberty, and 4,500 in Wakulla for Talquin.
But it's still moving in the right direction. That's
it's moving in the right direction. It is.
Okay. Food, very important to all of us. Amanda Handley with the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association has an update for us. Hey, Amanda, how are you hanging in?
I am very well. How are you?
Oh, we're doing fine. We're just
good.
Yeah, just acting as a conduit here. So what's the latest on our food and restaurant situation here?
Well, we got more and more folks opening up, and Visit Tallahassee has a great resource on their website. You can go and look and see what businesses are open, including non-restaurants. So they have a whole section devoted to restaurants. I was out and about today. I've got family over in Gadsden County, so we were heading over to help them clean up. And I started making a list of restaurants that I saw along the way. Looks like McDonald's are open, Chick-fil-A is open, the Bojangles on North Monroe is open. I know that Willie Jewel's on the north side of town is open, and Dreamland Barbecue is open. They've been open the whole time, actually. It's been really wonderful. And actually, this afternoon with Dreamland, I'm going to meet our regional director, Nick Lowe, at Dreamland at about 5:15 to help him load up the Dreamland catering truck full of food, and Nick is going to drive that down to Liberty County. We got word that the first responders down in Liberty County hadn't had a hot meal or really any food in several days. So Dreamland really stepped up to the plate and is going to provide us with a bunch of food to drive down to Liberty County. So we're pretty excited to be able to do that for them.
That's good news. This is Lynn, the news director. I have a question for you. Any updates for outlying areas? We've got a lot of people wondering about what's open in places like Gadsden, places like Liberty, places like Wakulla, Franklin Bay. Do you guys have any idea of just some general sites that might be open in those areas?
We do not at this point. As you might imagine, we are having a very difficult time communicating with those outlying areas. When I drove over to Gadsden this morning, it seemed almost like when I crossed the county line, my cell service just went kaput. And my folks live in a pretty rural area, so I passed one gas station that had a line backed up for half a mile right off the interstate at the Gretna exit. So we're really not hearing much out of those locations. And what we do hear is that nobody's open because they don't have power in these outlying areas.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much for that update. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank y'all for everything you're doing.
Thanks, Amanda. We just got a message here from Dan Hendrickson and Susie Kaplow. Dan, of course, one of the folks who now retired from the Second Judicial Circuit Public Defender's Office, and Susie works in the elections office for Leon County. Still don't have power. Gardenia, Lotus, Mimosa, even Waverly, Kenilworth. We don't have generator. And that is, it's some of the back neighborhoods. That is where the big problem is, and the outlying areas like you were just talking about.
Well, yes, Tom, and it's important to know there is a difference. City of Tallahassee customers are being restored quickly, but if you are outside the City of Tallahassee service limits, you're on Talquin, you are on Gulf, you are on some of the smaller utilities, and so those power restoration efforts are taking a lot longer because a lot of these areas have sustained far heavier damage than what you're seeing even just within the city. So just, you know, keep in mind that service area. So when we say some people are getting power, there are a whole lot of other people who are still largely in the dark.
And that's going to be a major challenge going forward again because the fact that so many of these areas are outlying. You have trees down across back roads, and it is a real mess. And so the restoration efforts are going to have to move outward here over the next days, possibly weeks to come. A special edition of Perspectives on WFSU as we find out what's going on in the wake of Hurricane Michael, how the recovery is going along. We have the entire team. We'll be right back, and we'd like to hear from you at 850-414-1234. Perspectives on the Air, a special edition and a program note that we will be repeating this tomorrow, Sunday, also between 2 and 3 o'clock here on WFSU to bring in the entire newsroom contingent and talk to not only our listeners and our members of the staff, but also folks from city and county and outlying areas to bring us up to speed on what's going on as we recover from Hurricane Michael. Regan McCarthy, you've been following a lot of stuff here.
Right, Tom. Lynn was talking before the break about all the people who are outside of the Tallahassee area who maybe are in a more impacted area and who are waiting a little bit longer for some of their power to come back on. I've got some updates for some people on how long that wait might be. For our Talquin customers who were calling in and asking about that, Talquin's reporting for Wakulla, Leon, and Gadsden counties. They expect to have 90% of their customers back online for Wakulla and Gadsden, they expect to have 90% of their customers back online by Wednesday. Leon, it's going to be Monday, so Leon's a little faster. But Wakulla and Gadsden, 90% back online by Wednesday, 98% by Friday. And then for people in Liberty County, that wait is looking even longer. They're expecting large portions of their area to be back online by Saturday, October 20th.
All right. That's still going to be a little bit of a wait, though. Ryan Daly, you took a really interesting little trek yesterday out westward, and you reported back by phone on some of the things that you were seeing. And it sounds like the further west you go, the worse things get.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I stopped in Franklin County's East Point community. I went to there was a local store, the Big Top Supermarket out there was providing, grilling up the rest of their chicken that they still had that, you know, hadn't gone bad. Free lunch, they sent the word out to the community, and, you know, just an incredibly long line of those people coming in from the neighborhood there. The store sits right there on the coast. The owner said about 3 inches of water only, I guess, it's lucky in that way, got into his store from the storm surge. But wanted to let people know there will be another lunch there today starting at 3 p.m. At the Big Top once again. Also out of Franklin County, the Apalachicola High School has MREs and water as well as the food pantry available for resources. And the Franklin County Emergency Management wants people to know if you or someone that you know needs insulin, please call the Emergency Operations Center and they will notify the health department there.
Oh, that is good information to have. Thanks so much. Let's go to line one. Ramona awaits. Hello, Ramona, and welcome to Perspectives. How are you? Hey, Ramona. Oh, she was here. She's not here anymore. It was a shout out. A caller also mentioned hard hit area of Mariana. And I saw just a heartbreaking picture, guys, on Facebook. Someone had taken a picture of the Baptist Church over in Mariana, a very historic structure. It dates from the late 1800s, and it was just nailed completely. The main sanctuary roof caved in. All of the stained glass windows were blown out. It's an absolute tragedy. It was such a historic building.
Yeah, Tom. This is true, really, to the west of us, especially. For our listeners in Mariana High School, if you need immediate assistance, the Mariana High School is open as a Red Cross shelter, and you can go there. But I do have to say, the Jackson County School District, actually on their website, has issued a pretty dire update about when schools are going to reopen, and they said schools will be closed in Jackson County through at least November 1st. Many sustained damage. It's going to be a while before a lot of our communities return back to even something that looks like normalcy. Again, Jackson County has been included in the disaster declaration. FEMA assistance is now available. Also included in that FEMA assistance, we were talking about this earlier, Gina, a lot of people are wondering, well, I have to go back to work, but what happens if you don't have work to go back to? FEMA assistance, that is also, it's called disaster unemployment assistance, and you can apply for that at FEMA once you get online, if you can get online. I'm sorry, I don't quite yet have information to tell you where to go on the ground, but it is open for applications right now.
And we do know that a lot of counties have been declared that they will be able to get hopefully some fast relief. I was talking to some family members in the region today, all over the place, that have sustained damage. And the big concern is they know people who have no job to go to now, and they will not get paid if they don't go to that job. They know people that are stuck in their homes. They literally have no car because it was smashed, and they mm-hmm. cannot get to work. So these are the kind of things that you must contact FEMA for. That's your first step. I mean, if you can get help from the Red Cross, fantastic. But disasterassistance.gov, if you can manage to get online, disasterassistance.gov is where you want to start. That's got to be your first stop for starting to get some help.
And I think what normally happens, and guys, this it was what occurred after Hermine, that FEMA representatives actually came on the ground, certainly here in Leon County, but I would also suppose they're going to be headed to the outlying areas. There will be central locations. You can go in and make those claims in person.
Right, Tom. I know there, I called the FEMA regional office that represents this area of Florida today. I know that the FEMA regional person is in Tallahassee today, and I've touched base with her to try to find out where they will be making offices throughout the panhandle. As soon as we get that information, I will pass it on to our listeners.
Okay. Terrence, hold on just for a moment here. Rick Miner's checking in here from Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And let's go to him right now on line three. Mr. Commissioner-elect, how are you doing, and how's everything doing with Second Harvest of the Big Bend and your food distribution, Rick?
I'm really good, Tom. Thanks for having us on the call. We've been working nonstop at the Second Harvest Food Bank. We've had staff here 24/7 since the hurricane left us. We've also got other food banks from around the state through the Feeding Florida Network that have come here with their trucks and forklifts to help us with getting the food out. We actually had four people here from other food banks sleeping here in our offices last night.
Oh, good Lord. Now your coolers and everything stayed up at the main warehouse, right, Rick?
That's a great success story. We actually had 100,000 pounds of frozen meat in our freezer, and we don't have a backup generator. So when the power went out, the freezer was starting to creep up in temperature. We talked to the city and let them know about that, as well as the fact that we're a emergency mass care hub. And they prioritized, I believe they prioritized it, because about 24 hours later we had our power back on. And fortunately, the 100,000 pounds of meat was saved. We didn't lose any.
That is terrific. Now, what about to the west here? What are your distribution situations going to be out there, Rick, since that they're so dire need right now?
Yes, we've been given a list of high-priority counties to focus on, and I think you've all been saying the same county names. It's Calhoun, Liberty, Gulf, Jackson, Bay, of course. And then Gadsden actually has been added to our list just recently. There's a lot of need there that has needs to be addressed.
Do you guys have site locations that we can tell people where to go in those areas?
Well, that's been one of our challenges. We've got 135 different partners that work with us during Blue Skies. You know, these are churches and schools and other nonprofits like soup kitchens. The trouble, though, is that they're all out of power, and their cell towers are down. So every single day we're going through the entire list of 135 and trying to call them, and we make note of when they come online. But still, 75% of those partners of ours are offline. We can't reach them. We're working on some ideas right now to distribute food in those hard-hit counties, even though we can't reach out to the people that are that would normally help us distribute the food. So we're actually working with COAD right now and the Leon County EOC and the Big Bend counties, the EOC counties, to help us get that that food out. We're getting a lot of food in. We're getting a lot of MREs, the meals ready to eat, RTEs, which are like snack packages of ready-to-eat food, snacks, and then, of course, water. Those are the four types of food that we're getting in large quantities. And so we're getting food in. We're getting the equipment in to be able to distribute the food, you know, the trucks and the forklifts. The challenge for us is just getting food through those distribution channels to the people that need it.
Got it, Rick. Well, can you please let us know when you guys have sites open and where you have those sites open so we can distribute that information? We'd like to have it.
Absolutely. Well, one thing you can do is, and I can get with you later offline, but we do have that list of the agency distribution locations that we have been able to reach out to, you know, the 25% that we have been able to connect with. So those are on our website now at fightinghunger.org. So if you're in a county in the Big Bend and you need some food, go to our website, fightinghunger.org, take a look at that list. Unfortunately, there are a lot of those agencies that we haven't been able to contact yet, but there are some on there that we have, and they're working with us very hard to get food to people that need it.
Okay, yeah, because we know a lot of the other communications methodologies are down, Rick, and folks may just have battery-powered radios or listening to us in the pickup truck, and you know, we can get the information out to them that way, too, as it comes in, okay?
Thanks, Tom. You know, another reason, another way to reach help that you need is to call 211 Big Bend. We keep 211 Big Bend, the folks over there, updated with the list of agencies that have food of ours. So if you don't have internet access, and most of us don't, call 211 and they'll direct you to where you can get some food as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rick, and thank you guys for all you do. Lynn, you got one more thing.
I do have one more thing, Rick, and thank you so much for that. I want to talk about this issue that Rick just discussed, which is the communication problem. We've talked a lot about the power outage problem. We have massive communication issues going on in places like Bay County, places even like Gadsden. Verizon issued an update as of 11 a.m. this morning. Tallahassee is almost fully restored. They're about 97% restored in Florida as a whole. However, the site's hardest hit in Panama City. Calhoun is also experiencing difficulty, and they say that the clearing teams are helping engineers get access to some of these areas that have gotten cut off by debris or damaged via floods. They're still trying to get those up and running, but for right now, communication remains really, really difficult in some of these areas, so people are going to be having a hard time calling out and getting online.
Okay. Thanks again, Rick Miner from Second Harvest of the Big Bend, and thank you to all of your folks and for everything that you do.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks to you and WFSU for everything you're doing to keep people informed.
All righty, sir. We'll check back in with you. Yeah, Terrence has been hanging on the line. Let's go to him here on line two. He's been on the ground there between Colquitt and Quincy. Terrence, thank you for your patience and welcome to Perspectives.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I decided to take a chance this morning, and I drove 45 miles north of Quincy, which is Colquitt, taking Bainbridge Highway, which is 267, which becomes 302 in Georgia, and then 27 north. And I didn't encounter an open business until I got to mile 32, and it was an inland gas station just north of Bainbridge, which had a line of people getting gas. And then when I got to Colquitt, their main store, Pick and Save, was closed, and the Family Dollar was closed, and the Shell station was open in Colquitt with a long line of cars and law enforcement directing the people there. In downtown Quincy, when I left at 8, there was no traffic lights around the courthouse. When I came back at 12:30, there was. And other than that, it's the road up there all the way is clear, and I passed about 12 trucks on the way in both on the Florida side and the Georgia side, which are taking out brush at, because on the way up at 8, I had to, there was some places where it was only one lane because trees were across large parts of half of the lane, and so they must have just bulldozed things off so people could get through. But lots and lots and lots of power lines down, even right in the city of Colquitt. I didn't think that they got hit so hard, but I just came from there, and they did. So it looks really, really bad all the way up to Colquitt, at least.
Boy, we appreciate the on-the-ground report on that one, Terrence. Let's see, you got something, right? No. Okay. But we appreciate that, and we'll have to keep checking back there, but it sounds like things are moving in a good direction, at least in that area over in Quincy, although they have a long way to go.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no power anywhere where I live. But
yeah.
And the one store that was open yesterday was they put up a generator at the corner of Pat Thomas Parkway and Highway 90 Walgreens. So they're probably open again today. Since I went north, I didn't check today, but they were open until 6 yesterday because they have a generator on the side of the store.
Oh, terrific. Okay.
They have just drinks and things like that, but snacks and stuff.
Hey, it's something.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Terrence. Appreciate
that. You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Lynn?
Yeah. And just quickly, Tom, I just wanted to talk about this. The following schools and districts are closed until further notice. Florida State University, Panama City, TCC's Gadsden County campus, the Florida Public Safety Institute in Gadsden, all of Gadsden County schools, Bay County Schools, Jackson County Schools, and Liberty County Schools, all of those districts, all of those facilities now are closed until further notice.
Okay. And taxes can be a problem because we're coming up on a tax deadline for some folks. And thank you, Mr. Gregg. We appreciate this information that the IRS has just updated its emergency website. Anyone who filed for an extension to their taxes, where they would now be due on October 15th, that deadline has been pushed out to February if you live in Leon County and other affected counties. Again, you can go on the IRS website once you have internet access on this. But for those folks who are desperately trying to get their October 15th filing done, you do have an extension according to the IRS emergency website. Again, thank you so much for that, Greg. Let's go to line one. Ramona's been hanging on since she got back in with us. You still there, Ramona?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Thank you for calling. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
We are. Well, we're just doing wonderfully. We're sitting around a table talking to you.
Well, being another of those dinosaurs with a landline, I just wanted to say thank you so much for all the coverage through the whole storm on the radio. I'm a Luddite. I don't do well with social media. And in Hermine, I was just lost because my cell phone died and didn't have any other access to the ways that information was shared. But this time it's been great. I listened to you all through the storm on my battery-operated radio, and it's been great. Thank you,
Ramona. It's always so good to hear from you.
Thank you, Ramona. And this just in from Gulf County. Reentry into South Gulf County is still residents and business owners early. Wewa High School and Port St. Joe Elementary School are staging areas in that area to pick up food and water. Ice will be there, will be available there as well. The Red Cross shelter is open at Port St. Joe Elementary, and medical care is available at Wewahitchka Health Department and Sacred Heart Hospital in Port St. Joe. So that is fresh information coming in from the Gulf County Emergency Management.
Okay, so they would probably be taking some of the load then off of Bay County since there was so many problems with health care response in the Panama City area in the wake of the storm.
Indeed, two hospitals went down in Panama City, and those patients have been evacuated, I believe, to Pensacola and Gainesville.
All right. Folks, we are drawing nigh at the end of this hour, but because there is still so much information to share and so many developments in the wake of this storm, we will do it all again tomorrow here on WFSU-FM between the hours of 2 and 3 o'clock Eastern Time, but we're also spreading this out to the entire panhandle so we can get information as to how the recovery area and efforts are affecting you. And we also want to, of course, hear from you and how you're faring and perhaps what kind of needs you might have. And we'll get up with that other caller here, David, after we get off the line here. Insofar as a generator delivery out to folks in Panama City, we'll try to see if we can affect some kind of coordination there as well. On behalf of the entire WFSU team, which is Evan Rossi and David Mullen, our guy back behind the glass today, I'm Tom Flanagan. For the entire news team, we'll be back tomorrow between 2 and 3 Eastern right here on WFSU.